All right. Well, I'm going to come into the Word today. Let's turn over to the book of Romans. And I will come over there with you in just a minute. But I feel like this is a very, very important message, as most are. I would say they all are when you're bringing them out of the Word. Come on, would you just pray with me for a minute? Father, I want to thank you for this Word. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me deliver it in the fashion and in the way that you would be pleased. And I pray, Lord, that as I said just earlier, if you'll open our hearts, not only open them to see the Word, but hear the Word and then receive the Word into our heart. Now change our lives. And we give you our lives, Lord, as a sacrifice that you've asked for, Lord. You said, oh, make your body a living sacrifice to me. Give it to me. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you today, and I give you this message that, Lord, you would cause it to penetrate the ears, the heart, and into the mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You know, today there's a lot of talk about DEI in the schools. Amen. Diversity, equity, inclusion. And it's becoming less since Trump is the president. But, I mean, that's all we heard for a long time was DEI, DEI, DEI. Make everybody equal. Make everything the same. You know, everyone. And then, instead of being the same, they locked them into certain categories. This people and this people and this people. Well, they're screaming, be one. They tried to put us in these social classes, and it was just hideous. They cry racism. That is racism. Don't be putting people over here and over here and over here and over here. We're all one. So I want to, though, take it a bit further because I don't live in the world and neither do you. We live in it and we're in it. You go to work in the world. But Jesus said, you're in it. You're in it. But you are not what? You are not of it. But we do know some things about the church and the body of Christ. Because I've been doing this now for over 40 years. So I've seen a lot of things come and go. And the Lord allowed me for 10 years full time to travel the United States and see all kinds of pastors and all kinds of churches, big, small, little, big, all kinds of churches and pastors and peoples and altar calls and hear what happens in the body of Christ. And I learned some good things. And I've applied some things here, and some things I didn't want to apply. I've seen things that worked and things that didn't work. Some things that were just a total waste, and some things that were very necessary for the body of Christ. So I just want you to tune in with me today and lean in to what the Word of the Lord is saying. And I thank God for this. Holy Spirit hears it all. But instead of DEI today, the title of my message is going to be DIY. DIY, because we see a lot of this DIY in the church, in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just Landmark. I'm talking about the global church, the body of Christ under heaven. And I'm just going to call that today, do it yourself or do it your way. DIY, do it your way. And a lot of people want to come to church, even get involved, or maybe just come to church and then go home and do it all their way. And when you start doing things your way, you'll find out you may get by with for a little while, but after a while, it's going to make you so crazy. And you'll start getting all squirrely and doing things you wouldn't have done 20 years ago. Because you started doing it your way. Didn't Frank Sinatra say, I did it my way? Yeah, I don't know where he is today. Maybe, I don't know. We won't go there. I'm not talking about Frank. I'm talking about us and the body of Christ. But there is a lot of DIY in the church. Are you in Romans chapter 10? But in this, when you start living life according to you, according to your thoughts, according to the way you think it ought to be done, instead of the way that God thinks it ought to be done. See, God just doesn't think it ought to be done this way. He wrote it down for us because he said, you'll probably forget the way it's supposed to be done. So I'll write it down for you, and then you won't have any problem. You can just read it, and you'll know how it ought to be done. But I don't want to do it according to my way. I don't like my way sometimes. I don't like my way most of the time. But I love his. I love his. And I'll do anything that I can to get in his way or be with him. Not in his way, but be a part of his way. Let me read you what, I don't know if you know who Tim Delena is, but he pastors a Times Square church. And he said this, he said it a long time ago. But I want you to hear this, and I'll repeat it. If the word is just in your mind, then you have an intellectual. If the word is in your mouth, then you have a hypocrite. If the word is just in your hands, then you will become a Pharisee. But if the word is in your heart, then you have become a lover of Jesus. Amen? All right, I'm going to read one more time for somebody that may have missed it. If the word is just in your mind, then you have become an intellectual. If the word is in your mouth, only in your mouth, then you are a hypocrite. And if the word is just in your hands, then you've become a Pharisee. And if the word is in your heart, though, then you are a lover of Jesus. Amen. Not too many times in my life, but I have heard this. You probably heard it more than a pastor would hear it. But one young man said to me one time, I will not be told how to live my life. I'll live it the way I want to live it. I will do as I please, when I want and how I want. And I said, well, brother, help yourself. I'm not going to follow you home. All I'm going to do is put it out as a minister of the gospel that he called me to when I was a little girl. That's all I can do. I mean, a few years ago, I don't know, I guess it's all over America, but I know for California, it was put into law that we have to wear seatbelts. Okay, that's a law, and we know it's a law. But those policemen, sometimes they may stop you if they don't see the belt through the window. But they're not going to track us down and look at every one of us saying, are you wearing your belt? Are you wearing your belt? They try to enforce it. So what I'm doing today is bringing a very important word. But then it's up between you and your God. Just, you know, I understand that people say, I'm not going to go down there because she preaches this. And I'm going to go down and, you know, I'll find me a better church. Well, you can help yourself there too if you want. But I'm just saying, if that pastor is right, they'll be preaching this word. And it's not always honey. It's not always dessert. Now, if you always want dessert, and I love Joel Osteen, I do. If I want to be encouraged, if I'm feeling a little bit down, I'll turn that radio on to channel 118 and listen to Joel Osteen. I know he's going to encourage me. Nothing wrong with that. But he is never going to give me anything like I'm getting ready to give you. Not going to happen. But see, we've got to preach the entire word, and then it's yours. And then you can't say, I didn't hear. And then when we get to heaven, if something carried you off into another way, and you got on the broad way instead of the narrow path, he said, oh, there's a broad path, and there's many that find that. But there's a narrow path that not everybody wants to be on, but the narrow path is the way to heaven and the way to Jesus. So with that, I'll say, when you're on that narrow path, there's no DIY in you. But you get on that Broadway, and you get so far out there, and you get to heaven, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Guess what? That blood's not going to be on my hands. It's going to be on yours, because you chose to go full course DIY, do it yourself. And so with that, I'll just move on. Most of these people, if you look at their life, there's no boundaries. I can curse and swear just like you can. I can watch those X-rated movies. I can go to the same movies you go to. I'm under grace, baby. I'm under grace. Well, we were saved by grace. But even in a baseball game or football games, my goodness, we were watching that Super Bowl the other day, and they would put that flag up and give them a penalty, and I would say, who's that for? Is that for the Eagles or is that for the Chiefs? But, boy, they had to keep the rules. I mean, it's tight, basketball in those games. But we get to church and lose our minds. Oh, no, there's no boundaries for me. I'm not keeping any boundaries in my life. I'll do as I please. Okay, all righty. A lot of pastors, listen, there's a lot of pastors in America today. I can name some of them. A few of them you would know, but most of them you wouldn't know. And this had started happening while we were yet on the road. And one pastor's wife called me and said, you know, my husband, I don't even know him anymore. She said, he started having his board meetings, and he started offering wine. They would have wine in their board meetings. And then she said, he put a bar in his green room. It was a big church. Put a bar in our green room. And she says, and now his language has gotten so bad, he swears and he uses bad words. And he says, I'm under grace. It's okay. One lady told me one time they started traveling with us. And she says, you know what? I'm glad we started traveling with you guys and hearing the word, because I didn't realize that we could do so much and get by with it. I'm like, why would you want to do what the world does and give God praise that you can get by with it? Well, I can tell you, if you drive up 190 and you go all the way up in those mountains way high, guess what? There's just canyons all down there. And when you're driving your car along that narrow path, you're not seeing how close you can get to the edge out there. You're going to try to squeeze up toward that mountain. No, you're not. But people in the church, I don't understand it. Why are we looking for the edge? Somebody says, well, it's edgy. This is an edgy word. Well, no boundaries. No, we've got to have boundaries. You have to have boundaries in those mountain roads. Sometimes they'll put up borders along the way. But you can't ignore the word of God. You just can't. And you can ignore the word. You can ignore the preaching of the word. You can ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You can ignore even the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And he will come to you, and maybe at work, because he goes everywhere you go, because we're blessed to have him in us. And he will convict your heart and say, that's not the way. Don't walk in that way. Or, yes, this is the way. Walk you in it. But if he convicts, and you chose to go on anyway, guess what? It's going to take you way out there. So you cannot, after a while, after you continue to ignore his promptings, ignore his convictions, you know what's going to happen? Pretty soon, you won't even feel that at all. You won't feel those convictions, and you'll wonder, why don't I feel convicted anymore? Because you ignored him for so long, and it takes a long time, because our God is long-suffering. It is not his will that any man should perish, but all should have eternal life. He loves us so much, he says, I'm long-suffering with you, and I will just come back again and convict you and pull you where I am, and I will bless you. I remember one time we were out there ministering, and we were in Nashville. And this one girl came to me. She was in one of the top singing groups in America. And she says to me, you know, she says, I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. And he was this group's piano player. And I said, girl, you know better than that. What are you doing? That's adultery. What are you doing? And she says, but you know what, Paulette? She says, it seems like the more that we sleep together, the more that we do things we shouldn't do, the more God blesses us. Lynn, what's that song you sing? Your goodness draws me to repentance. Your mercy draws me to your side. That's why he's good when we're in our own messes and we go to places we shouldn't go, and he just keeps being so kind and so sweet. And you say, he's not mad at me. I must be pleasing him. No, he's trying to say, look, let me show you how good I am. Because there's something else coming down the road. And that won't be pretty. All right, so let me take you over to Romans and just show you this in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Then I want to submit to the righteousness of God. But I will submit to my own way. Because it's easier. It's this. It's that. And I enjoy it. And I am not hurting anybody but me. Let me tell you something about serving God. I believe this with all my heart. I think the people of God, I think you and I can have more fun by accident than the world has on purpose. Man, they got to work hard. They got to get to that party. They got to get drunk. They got to do this. They got to do that. Got to have an affair to have fun. And you and I just have fun by accident. I mean, it could just come any time of your day and just prosper you and bless you. And then you make a connection. You're like, what? And he gives you bonuses. What? You're going to give me this bonus? I mean, there's so many things that come with submitting to him. But he said there's those that are totally ignorant of God's righteousness. And when you turn your mind off, when you turn your heart off to the preaching of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, when you turn your mind off to that, then you will be ignorant of God's righteousness. And then what happens? It said it right here. See, you can't blame all this on me. Because he said they will seek to establish their own righteousness. I'll do it my way. Frank Sinatra. DIY. Do it your way. They go to establish their own righteousness. Why? Because they have not submitted to God. Now, God, I'll wear your helmet of salvation at church and at home with my family until a movie comes on that's filthy and I want to watch it. I'll just take my helmet of salvation off and put it over here and I'll watch it and I'll get back to you later. Maybe not that severe, but I'm just saying, you know, there's more required of us, church. We're not little loose gooses out here. Why would Jesus die and shed all of his blood and went through what he went through to leave us in a life of sin? I don't understand. He would never do that. He did that to give us righteousness. We don't have to live like this by ourselves. He comes to help us live holy lives in him. You say, I can't do it. It's too hard. No, the way of a transgressor is hard. When you start walking out of the boundaries of God and you go do your own thing, that way is a hard way. It says the way of a transgressor, and then you've got to try to clean that mess up. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You should have this marked in your Bible. I think every Christian would know this. And I brought it to you, I'm sure, this portion of Scripture. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1. And 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. They'll give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, I've been on the ranch long enough to know that when my husband and those cowboys would brand those cattle, the hair burns off. It smokes like something's on fire, and that brand is left on that cow's hips or that steer's hips. But it says here, when people begin to walk, and when the Bible says the Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit, of course, expressly speaks, that means he speaks very clearly and very plainly. You cannot guess about it. It's just as clear and plain, plainly written as it can be. So he says, look at this very plainly, verse 1 and 2, chapter 4. The Spirit speaks very plainly, very clearly, and he says this, in latter times, and where are we, church? The latter times. We're in the end times, in the end days. Last hours, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, people have bought the old adage or the old phrase, those deceiving spirits or doctrines of devils, that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you may not have to go to church to be a Christian, but you get to go to church. Now, if you're a Christian, of course, let me repeat myself here. If you're a Christian, you're going to want to come to church. It's the only place that we go in our seven-day week where we can meet with other believers, like-minded people who believe what you believe, love the same God you love, and we walk along the same narrow path. Why wouldn't we want to come there? Now, let me repeat myself right here. If you are a drug addict or crack addict, where you want to go? To a crack house? Or a weed party? You just want to go where others are like you. If you're a drunk, you want to go to a bar. That's where you want to go. So why would you not want to come to church if you're a Christian? Now look at the empty seats. People have bought this lie. It's a deceiving spirit. It's a doctrine of the devil. But it's very important that God's people come together, because you're not going to hear the word of God preached out there. Well, I can hear it on TV. Somebody said the other day, I pay my tithes to Jimmy Swaggart. You know what I wanted to say, don't you? Next time somebody's dying in your family or you're sick, just call old brother Jimmy. See if he'll fly out here to California. Silliness. Hideous. But if you're not going to church, then go ahead and give to them. You need to give to God. But when you're coming to church, your tithe and offering belongs in the house. Come on, it belongs right here. Don't belong anywhere else. Now, you're going to go eat today wherever you want to eat. You're going to go to Applebee's, or you're going to go to Taco Bell. You're just going to go to one of the L's, El Tap, El Nuevo, El Jocalito. You're going to go to one of the L's. And don't you dare go to El Tapatio. And you tell Alicia when it's time to pay your bill up there. Don't tell her, well, you know what? I'm going to pay for my food over at Applebee's today. Like, are you looking in my face telling me such stupidity? So if you go to this church, why would you want to pay your tithe somewhere else? Oh, anyway. Those are just crazy things. Paul said, don't. The closer to the end time you get, the more it's going to be freaky and crazy. And these deceiving spirits will come and deceive people. And they'll speak lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared by a hot iron. One time we were having a play practice. We were having a Christmas play years ago down at the old church, or the first church we started in the Veterans Building. We were having such a wonderful play practice. And this man and woman, I loved them both. They're both married, wonderful spouses. And they started just cutting up, just teasing each other all the time, just slapping them and having fun. And some of the people said, you know, I think you better watch them, Pastor. I thought, I don't have their watch. Not watching them. I thought, well, you guys are just over-exaggerating. Well, they just kept on. And No, I'm telling you, I saw him massaging her shoulders the other day. What? You did? Where was his wife? Oh, she wasn't around. But pastor, I'm just telling you, I feel chemistry with them or something. And you know what happened? They're both out of church right now. They're gone. They were discovered. It was all out. They're gone. So what was that? A deceiving spirit. They didn't realize it. They thought they were having fun. This same man, a girl, would walk up and he'd put his arm around her waist. He'd just wrap his arms around her waist. Ladies, if any man in this church puts his arm around your waist, you back out. And you carry yourself as a woman of God. Don't you be letting that happen to you. Ladies, if you see a woman up there wrapping her arms around your husband's neck to hug him, you just walk over there and put her hands off your husband's neck. Yeah, because somebody might lay hands on you. Not everybody's real sweet in the house. So just be careful. So ladies, back out. Men, if you think somebody's messing with you, you just get out of there quick. Don't let it be talked about to you. Amen. Well, I'm going to do as I please, and you're not going to tell me, hey, that's old hat. We've done discovered that. He said, you don't even know righteousness if you're talking like that. But you got to give heed to this, not those seducing spirits. But the bad thing about a deceiving spirit is you don't know when you're being deceived. See, a drug addict knows when they're in trouble. Yesterday, I don't mean to get off because I'm going to probably have to go to Bakersfield in a few minutes. But I want to say to you, yesterday morning, it was very early, and it was very cold outside, and I saw a homeless man walking. And the poor little guy, it was so pitiful, he was walking funny, and his little pants were way down here. He looked like he was about 20 years old. And it was so cold, and he didn't have on a jacket. And this man was so kind. This man pulled up. He was in a new truck, and he rolled down his window, and he handed this man, it was probably his own coffee. He handed him a cup of coffee, and the man shook his head, and he went on his way. He just wanted to warm the man up, just give him a warm cup of coffee, maybe about a quart. And when that man rolled away, guess what that homeless man did? He took that lid off and threw that coffee in the bush and threw the cup down on the street. I thought, that man was trying to help him. And he wouldn't take it. He didn't know it might warm him up. Walked across the street, pants fell off and down around his ankles. He reached down, pulled those britches up, and walked on without his coffee. I'm thinking, God, is that what some folks in the church do? We try to help. You hear a TV preacher try to give you a cup of coffee to warm you up. And you just pitch it out, throw it away. That's not for me. It's for them. It's not for me. And I thought of that ever since I saw that, what that poor young man did. I don't even know if he knew what he was doing. Okay, let's leave that. Let's leave 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Again, these are very familiar portions of Scripture, but I haven't brought this Scripture in a long time. And it goes along with doing it your way. DIY. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 3. But know this. Paul's speaking again. You can't blame me for this. Paul's telling us. But you know this, that in the last days, perilous, that means dangerous times. Somebody say, we're there. Dangerous, scary times will come. For when men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. That's why all these people are coming against the Doge people and Musk, trying to uncover the mess and the corruption and try to save America money, and they can't even stand it because it's going to get in on their little pocketbook or big pocketbook, whatever it is. Men will be lovers of money. They'll be boasters. They will be proud. They'll be blasphemers. After a while, they're not even convicted anymore. Why? Because they've stepped over into blasphemy. They're disobedient to parents. Do you ever see a more unthankful, unholy generation or unthankful young people? disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. I want to add there where it says unloving, unforgiving, people that can't even say I'm sorry. The simplest of little things, did this happen? No, it wasn't me. Could never say I'm sorry. If they confessed I'm sorry, it may look like they were wrong. Well, what's wrong with being wrong? I'm wrong all the time. I say whoever picks up the phone and says forgive me or I'm sorry is closest to God. Just stay close to him. But he said in the last days, that's the way it's going to be. Without self-control, they'll be brutal. Mm-hmm. And despisers of good. They'll be traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, turn away. It says, don't run with them. Don't hang out with them. It will corrupt your good manners. Don't go there. Look at verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women. That's why I'm saying, girls, come on. Let's step it up a notch. We're at another level. Women, summer's coming. You don't walk down that street wearing Daisy Dukes. Y'all still know what those are? Who are you trying to impress? No one. You're still the woman of God. Okay? Gullible women. Those who creep into households. What that, wouldn't that make them a creep? I'm just saying. Those who creep into households and take captive gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Oh, my, my. Always learning. Look at this. Always learning. But never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Learn, 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 learn. I hear it. I hear it. I go to church every Sunday. Or I hit and miss. I go once a month. But whatever. I hear it. But don't come to the knowledge of it. Now we could preach right there for the longest time. Verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses or resisted Moses. They didn't want to hear Moses' word either. Didn't want to hear Paul's word. Didn't want to hear Jesus' words. So to these, they resist the truth. Look, men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also were. I'm telling you, church, the world is a mess, and we know that. We know the world's a mess, but it's up to us. Listen, look at me a minute. If we talk like them, watch the same movies they watch, speak the same language they speak, do the same things, and we have no boundaries as Christians, then you know what? Where are they going to listen to us? I believe this year, 2025, is going to be a year of evangelism for Landmark. And he's building up his army in this house. He's building us strong, and we're going to be a different people, and they're going to see you in the restaurant, and they're going to see you at different places, and they're going to say, you're one of those. You're one of those Landmark people. Not because you're Bible thumping. You don't have to do that. He said, the Bible says in Acts, the world could tell that they, the disciples, had been with Jesus. We don't have to be the smartest, the richest, the wealthiest. We don't have to have the whole Bible memorized. But when you're walking in him and he lives in you and you live in him, guess what? They'll know you've been with him. Something different about you. Hallelujah. All right. All right. I want us to go on because I'm going to close this down. I'll stop right there, but please read that again because it is so powerful. And once you get so far out there, it says you cannot go. You can't progress any farther in the Christian path. You can't go much farther because their folly is manifested. Their foolishness, their silliness will be manifested. Okay, so let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. And this is where I'm going to close. Let's start reading at 14, Kathy. 2 2:14. Now, here's why I brought this today. Look at this. Remind them, the church, of these things. Paul's talking to Timothy, but I'm talking to you. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Now be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. There's going to be people out there, people on your jobs, people in the church that aren't living right, that's going to try to bend your ear and deceive you and make you hear what they are doing. Look at their life, see who they are, and do not let yourself get deceived. He said, don't even mess around with those silly words and strive about them. Verse 15 again, present yourself approved to God, a worker. This is why we're having these workers' meetings, these ministry team meetings, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, look at this, shun profane and idle babblings. Shun them, get away from them. Somebody's telling a dirty joke at work, walk away, leave it alone. For they will increase to more ungodliness. And if you start listening, you will go along with more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Whatever message they're carrying, if they're trying to tell you your church is too strict over here, it's over here, or this is not right, guess what? It says that will just, that their message will spread like cancer. Just like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Oh, he says those two are of that sort. They're always talking negative, always got a bad story to tell, always got something. And he said, just like cancer, and those two are of that sort. Who have, verse 18, who have strayed, they've strayed away concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection's already passed and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of the Lord stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? From iniquity, from sin, from weakness. He says, don't walk in that. Thank God for grace that we're saved. But don't walk in it. Don't do that, because over in Matthew chapter 7, it says one day he will say, he will divide the sheep from the goats, and they will say, Lord, I have prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils. I have healed the sick. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Terrible words. You know why he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you? Because you never knew him. Sad deal. So I'm telling you, there is a spirit of evangelism that's coming upon this house. And I feel God making us ready, getting us ready. Please take these words that I've given you today. Don't throw them back at me. You put them in your mind, in your heart, and use them when you need to. Keep them in your heart. So I'm going to close with this. Chapter 2, verse 10. Just rise, go back up a few verses. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, Paul's speaking, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, Paul said, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we will live with him. And if we endure with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, look at this, he remains faithful. He's so good. He cannot deny himself. But he said, you can either reign with him, live with him, and him with you, or you can deny him, and he'll deny you. Amen. Church, it's the way of salvation. Paul said, the reason I'm doing this is because God wants to give you salvation into eternal life. It's the way of salvation. Live God's way. L-W. Live G-W. L-G-W. Live God's way. Not doing it our way. Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you all and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, your family, your business, and all that pertains to you in life and godliness. And may he pour out his spirit upon you as he has promised. May his beautiful countenance shine upon you all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.